But I want to discharge a burden the Lord has laid in my heart. And that burden is that we as a people, we as a church, we as a people that have been called out, the warning and the instruction is that we should contend earnestly for this faith that has been given unto us. You know, there is this faith that was given to the saints, and that is the one the scripture is admonishing us to contend for it. The reason is that there are forces of darkness that are trying to take us out of the vision that we have. And for this church particularly, we have an apostolic vision. We have a word that God has given us. We have a pattern that we ought to follow. And my fear is that we are drifting. That's the word I want to use. I have the fear that, you know, one thing about drifting is that you don't know what is happening, and before too long, you see yourself far gone. It's like a ship that is anchored at the shore. If you fail to anchor that ship properly, by the time you come out in the morning, the ship is in the high sea. It's far gone. And the reason is that there was no anchor. Brethren, we must anchor this vision. There must be a proper situation in our meeting, in our sharing of the word of God, and all that we do, it must be anchored on something. We have a foundation. The Bible says that no other foundation that will be laid other than that which has already been laid. There will be no other foundation because we have a pattern. Let me remind us of what the scripture says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Just as a warning. And I think it's in good faith that we should hear this. In Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Brethren, what are the things we have heard? What are the foundational doctrines we have heard? We have heard about faith towards God, heard about repentance, we heard about the laying of hands, we heard about the baptisms, we heard about resurrection, we heard about so many things. And the scripture is admonishing us this morning that we should earnestly take heed to the things which we have heard. And these things have to be taught over and over again. Now, I have made an observation that in every fellowship, you have three types of people. Three types. You have the young ones who are born in Zion. They are here. They have not been to Pentecost. They are growing with us. We have those who have been here over time, and sometimes they may forget. And you have those who have come to visit us. And so we must address our word to fall in line with these three group of people. And we must do that with all diligence, due diligence. That because you are here, you have been born here, does not mean that you are automatically born again. You have to experience the salvation of your soul. You have to hear the salvation message. You have to hear the teaching of sanctification. You have to hear about resurrection. Meanwhile, what the Bible talks about is not rapture. It talks about resurrection. And it is in this place we hear such teachings. And we must earnestly take heed to them. Hallelujah. We must pray for the ministry of the teachers in our midst. We must ask God to anoint them, to be able to bring it with all simplicity, and bring it so that even those in the village, you know, when we traveled to Ezebogo, we were surprised when we were teaching about the tabernacle and we were drawing it, and they all understood what we were saying. He said, it is just God with us. God wants to do it in our midst. That is the summary of that thing that you draw, and you begin to put all those things, that if they can understand that the basic desire of God is that he wants to dwell in our midst. You can communicate that doctrine to anybody because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we must not be tired of it. That we should be doing it regularly, seasonally. And for those of us who are here, who have been here for a long time, oftentimes, because of the exposure to many doctrines, and you begin to question, you begin to query, is it really true? We need to teach it again so that the things that we hear, the things that are coming to us, the projections of the enemy will not alter that which you have received from the beginning. Praise the Lord. Now, do you know one thing? Whether you like it or not, as long as you are in this world, there is pressure on you. The world is trying to mold us into their pattern of life. And it comes in different ways. If you are traveling on the road, you see the advertisement. They are giving you subtle instructions. The things that will alter your mind and you begin to think. They begin to advertise to you. You open your phone before you know it, before the news comes. Advert has come to you first. That's the first thing that comes. And it is for a purpose. They want to capture your mind. They want to lure you from that which you have known. And we must be careful about that. Praise the Lord. So we would give heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. Brethren, he can sleep. He can sleep. When you are not holding something tight, when it is not with a firm grip, you might likely lose that thing. You might lose it. It might be in the time of you're running around. Something happens, and that thing will just slip out of your hand. So let us hold it tightly. Now, it is likened to that story in the scripture where they say a man saw a pearl of a great price. Brethren, what has been delivered to us is a pearl of great price. And what you need to do is to sell everything. Selling everything means that you are going to concentrate and focus on this thing which God has given you at the expense of other contending attentions that we have. You must hold this as a prize. You must hold it as something that's of high value. Priceless. It's priceless. So let's be careful that we don't let them slip from our hand. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them? So what we have heard is so priceless, and you must keep it. You must teach it to your children. You must make it to be something that they should be proud of. A lot of the times when we go out and we meet other people, we're a little bit ashamed to identify ourselves. They will ask you, what is the name of your church? What's the name of your church? You begin to scratch your head. Do you understand? But you know, in Azumini, one of our brothers, somebody asked him, you people are people that stay under the uku tree. Under the tree. He said, the church that stays under the tree. That is what they call us. And the boy answered the man, see, But tell me in the Bible, where did they say a church has a name? And I was so impressed. Brethren, you know, as you teach this thing to our children, they are understanding. They are teach it. No matter how small they are, teach it. Because it is going into their subconscious. And when the time comes, they will recall it. And they give appropriate answer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't be ashamed of it. And make sure that you receive it with all gladness. Praise the Lord. Now, the other thing I want to tell us is that, you know, when we have this problem of the doctrine slipping from our hand, is when we seem to be asleep. When we seem to be asleep. And the word of God is telling us, awake, O you that sleepeth. That's an awakening call that is coming to the end time church, unto us. Let us awake. And if you are sleeping, when a man is sleeping, he doesn't know what is happening around him. You are not conscious of your environment. You don't know that things are happening, and the whole thing is geared towards taking away that thing which you hold, you know, dearly to your heart. So, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise. Praise the Lord. Awake out of your sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. It is even more important now than that time that we believe. Because of what? Darkness is approaching. Or it has come. I say gross darkness the people. The darkness is what? It's the wave of sin and iniquity. Can somebody in the scripture, please? Can we just read that thing? That's Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Romans 13, 1. 13:11, please. He said, awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, these are the reasons why we should be alert. We should be alert. And in view of the time that we are in, and in view of the gross iniquity that is around us, and in view of the rebellion that we see around, the scripture is asking and enjoining us, say, contend. Contend means to strive. Contend means to assert. We must assert our faith. We must strive to hold it to our chest. That is the battle that is before us. Brethren, we have a battle to keep the truth that has been revealed unto us. Now, before we do anything in relation to that, before I am able to stand to contend for this faith, before I am able to arise, there is something that is fundamental that we need to have. And in this place where we have come to, there's something I want to bring out as a foundation to all of this thing. Even before all the basic doctrines, the foundational doctrines, before all of it, and that is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, when you hear the fear of the Lord, It's not the fear that will terrorize you. It's not that type of fear. It's not the fear of maybe the demon is around to snatch something or to do you evil. No. The fear of the Lord we are talking of is different from that. You will remember that the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. It says that the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. Is it not true? We have not been given the spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and of sound mind. Hallelujah. So, remove your mind from that type of fear. That is not the one we're talking about now. And we are also not talking about the fear that the scripture described in John chapter 4, verse 18. He said, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. John 4:18. For thou hast had five. No, no. First John, please. First John. First John, please. Okay. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we are not talking about the fear that brings torment. The fear of the Lord is not that type of fear. We also want to remind ourselves that the fear that the Lord is talking here is the fear of the Lord that brings a man of God, brings you and me, and makes you to have reverence for God. Is the type of fear. The fear that gives you an awe of God. And as a result of that, you want to identify with Him. As a result of that, you want to be with Him. It is the fear of the awareness that our loving Father is watching, evaluating everything that we think, we say, and we do. So the fear of the Lord starts from the heart. It starts from the heart. It starts from your thoughts. Remember when the enemy, when Satan, you know, thought of going into that place, he said he thought in his heart. It was in his heart. So sin begins from the heart. We have talked about how darkness has pervaded the soul, and how God is trying to bring a restoration, and how the covering over our soul is being lifted by the ministry of the word, because the word says that it is the word that converts the soul. So it starts from my heart. The fear of the Lord starts. What do I think about my brother? What is it? When nobody is there, when there is nobody to see you or supervise you, in your heart, what is going on? What is the process that is coming up to mature to something? It is when a man thinks something in his heart, and when you give room to it, you give, something comes. There was a story of a brother who had lived in sin and got born again. And he repented very well. But you know, he kept the pictures of how he lived his former life still in his album. And it would look as if he was enjoying it. It would look at it as if he had no regret for it. Do you know, over time, that thing now became something that graduated to be a sin. He nurtured it. He nurtured it. And that is why, if anything comes to your heart, the first responsibility you have is to rebuke that thought. You must rebuke the thought that comes into your mind. Because if you leave it, it is going to grow. It will become something, and when it is consumed, then sin comes in. Is it not true? That is James. You know, so there's a process of that. So the fear of the Lord begins from the heart. But do you know what happened to that brother? At the end of the day, that brother divorced his wife. He did not know what he was doing. Brethren, don't play with sin. Don't play with the thought of something coming into your heart against your brother. Don't play with that thought. Don't give room to it. Don't allow it to fertilize and stay. Don't allow it to germinate, because it may bring something tomorrow. You see your brother, you begin to say, shut up. Who are you? It did not start anyhow. It started from the heart. So let the fear of the Lord start from the heart. Hallelujah. And also, the thing that we say, there must be an awareness in my heart that God is watching over me. God is watching over me. You know, if you go to many homes, you say this inscription, He said, God is the silent listener. Every conversation. Do we take it seriously? We don't. Maybe one day may come when you are quarreling with your wife and you suddenly hear the knock of a brother. No, I say, shit, brother, that means that you don't give any respect to God, because God is there. God is has been in that house from the beginning, from morning, and it is only when the brother came and knocked on the door that the fear of the brother now made you to stop the quarrel. Brethren, we need to be careful, because in every conversation, he is indeed the silent listener. He is watching, he is listening, he is evaluating, and you must have a consciousness. God must give you that consciousness of knowing that beside me is the Lord. Beside me is the one who will judge me on what I have done in this body. What I say, what I do, and all the things. He is beside me. And we must give reverence to him. When you give reverence to him, you will not say any word anyhow. You will not. Anything that wants to come out from your mouth, you must rebuke it and say, no, it cannot be. Praise the Lord. So, that is what the fear of the Lord is. In the book of Revelation, we heard when Jesus was talking to the churches, he said, we hear this word. He said, I know thy works. That was the summary. He said, I know your works. Even though in the churches you are there, you are doing everything. You are doing all the things you are doing. The book of Revelation reminds us that God says, I know your works. Because he has been there. Now, if we have this consciousness that God is in this house, then we will know how to say things. We behave ourselves properly. And the fear of the Lord will increase in our midst. Praise the Lord. Now, why do I say that the fear of the Lord is foundational? Why do I say that? You know, when you take a child to the school, what do you teach the child first? ABC. ABC. Now, the reason why we do that is to give the child the instrument with which to communicate. We give the child the instrument with which to write letters, to write poems, to communicate and do many things. But they start with A, B, C, D. And the child will come back from school with the slate and will just be singing it and doing all those type of things. You are laying a good foundation for that child. And so, for us as believers, the foundation of our walk with the Lord is the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is the foundation. It is the foundation. Do you know that when Jesus came and he was talking with the Pharisees and he was discussing and everything, the Jews who had known the Old Testament, who had been brought up to fear the Lord, who had known the implication of sin, because in those days, if you sin, you have to go and buy a bullock. By the time you buy 3 bullocks, then next time you will be very careful. Hallelujah. Now imagine that you are earning a very pittance, a very small salary, and you keep committing sin. In a month, you have already bought how many? 5 bullocks. Nobody will tell you to behave well. And that was why most of them who got to know the Lord, they were more consistent. They were serious. They knew the implication of sin. They knew what it means. Because they now saw the free gift of God. They now saw that you didn't need to do anything for you to be saved. It was a free gift of God. They appreciated it. You appreciate it. When you have sinned, when God has delivered you, remember Mary Magdalene. He said, much was done for her, and she also wanted to love much. Brethren, if we can remember what God has done for us, would we not want to love him more? We would want to love him more. Because we're not buying bullocks again. We're not doing all those type of things again. And he has just freely saved us. So that would be a way of encouragement for us to know that we need to really fear the Lord in all things that we do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's look at it from Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. It is the foundation of our walk. And it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of what is wisdom? What is this wisdom? This wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective and responding accordingly. Brethren, the wisdom is anything that you do, you are doing it from God's perspective. And you will pursue it along that line. When you have true wisdom, you will not go the way of the world. You will never go the way of the world. Because it is not God's perspective on the things you are doing. Let me give you an example of the worldly perspective. Now, they expect you that at a particular age, this one ought to marry now. Is it not true? This girl is 26 years, 27. Nothing is happening. Who told you that is the way? Who told you? It can be even less. It can be from 21. It can be that. Brethren, we must seek the God's perspective on anything that we are doing. Your job, they say you should come and work in Dubai. And they give you the salary and it's fantastic. Have you asked the Lord? What is God saying? The wisdom is to seek God's advice on that matter. The wisdom is to know what is God saying. That is what it means to fear the Lord. That is wisdom. And any other thing, it doesn't matter what it is. If the foundation is not on this, it is going to crumble with time. And the result will not be good or what you expect it to be. So we must learn to always, like David said, he said, I have always set the Lord before me. He is at my right hand. Hallelujah. What a wonderful way to live. Set the Lord always before you. Let him be at your right hand. Always. In any situation, set him before you. You must look at him. When you are looking at somebody, you are trying to receive what? You know, you be in a discussion and you're looking at your dad. Somebody just came. You're looking at your dad's face. He want your dad to give you a sign on what to do. Should I say something? Should I not say something? Always set the Lord before you. Let him be at your right hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he shall show them his covenant. Psalm 25:14. Let's look at Psalm 25:14. Now, what does it mean that the secret of the Lord? You know, God has secrets. You know, there are secrets. Let me tell you, there are things God shouts at the rooftop, and there are things he whispers. Hallelujah. He whispers those things to them that fear him. Hallelujah. So if you want to, some of our brethren who have this fantastic revelation, sometimes I used to wonder, how did it come? You read the scripture and something is not coming to you, and somebody reads it and there is so much light, there is so much life. The secret is, brethren, learn to fear the Lord. Learn to fear the Lord. He will reveal his secrets unto you. You know, there are mysteries of the kingdom. The Bible says it is given unto us to know the mysteries. It is given unto you. But there is a way to get it. There's a way to go. The way to go is to allow the fear of the Lord consume your heart. that the Lord may, in His secret time, in His very quiet time, will whisper those things to your ears. You know, Isaiah said, I will wake up in the morning and I will hear the thing He will whisper to my ears. And He will tell me what I should say. That is the man who is walking with the Lord. You wake up and the Lord is telling you something, and the Lord is giving you the unction so that you can give the word to the weary, and you'll be able to rightly divide the word of the truth. It comes from a place. It comes from that situation where you will have known Him intimately, and that is what we desire to do. Now, the thing I want to let us know is that it is possible all the time to fear the Lord. It is possible. It's not going to be an occasional thing. Nothing occasional. It is possible to fear the Lord all the time. All the time. Proverbs 23:17. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. All the day long. All through your time of passage on this earth. Let the fear of the Lord be something you can hold on to. It is possible. Now, when we are talking about the fear of the Lord, it just looks at me. What is it? What is the proof? What is the proof of it? The proof of it is that you are obeying the Lord. Obedience is the proof of fearing the Lord. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22:13. The proof of it is obedience. Genesis 22:12. And Abraham lifted up his hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Please, go to 12. Let me just say, go to 12. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. You know, there's a time in your life that God will say, for now I know. There may be other things you have been passing, but you know there's a promotion in our God. There may be a time when God wants to promote you, and the thing is set before you. And if you pass that test, God will say, now I know. Hallelujah. So, there is always such moments in our life when the Lord will make that pronouncement, now I know. Hallelujah. So, the proof that you know God is that you fear Him, in the reverse. If a man says, I know God. What is the proof of it? Is that you are a man that fears the Lord. And this thing can grow. You can grow. You can grow in the knowledge of God. You can also grow in the fear of the Lord. And if you are starting at the early stage, just keep seeking the Lord. Because as you do that, you will know God more. Now let me tell you, if you have lived with Brother Eberi or Brother Isaac, or any one of us. You know, we don't know people enough until we come very close to them. Is it not true? Do you know Wike? Do you know Wike? You don't know him. Get near to him, and you will see who the man really is. It could be good or it could be bad. But with our God, the closer you come to God, the closer you come, you will know Him. When you know God for who He is, you will fear Him. Hallelujah. You will give reverence. You will give Him more reverence as you get to know Him. And God does this by giving us experiences. Experiences are the instrument that God has used to make us to know Him better. Hallelujah. In the time of lack, God is trying to prove to you that I can provide for you. Hallelujah. He's trying to make you pass through an experience that you can, even without looking at the Bible, you can say, let me tell you, leave this thing. It is me. I will tell you who God is. Because I have passed through this situation and I can tell you of a truth that God is a good God. Yeah. Hallelujah. But you need to pass through that experience. You know, there is what we call experiential knowledge, which is different from the one you read. Hallelujah. The one you read is good. But the one that is going to enter your bone, it will enter your bone. That was why a man of God, even when he was buried, the bone was still speaking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Because what God has done in that place, life has been transmitted. Life has been transmitted. The man of God, when they came to dig a man and bury in that grave, what happened? Life came from that grave and pushed the man out. Hallelujah! So we are going to be like such people. Our bones will be full of life. When people come to you, instead of receiving bad mouth or other things, you rather give them life. People talk evil about you. They do everything, and when you are giving that, it's giving life to that person. It is what you have that you will give. It is what you have that you will give. You cannot give anything different. Brethren, let us use this camp meeting, this time that God has set apart. Our brother says it's a time of appointment. It's a time I have set myself. I say, Lord, I must receive something in this camp meeting. Set a goal for yourself. Set a goal for yourself. When you set a goal for yourself, you will not stop until you see it happen. You will pursue it and you will labor to enter into it. That is what it means. So, brethren, let's be encouraged today that as we fear Him, we will know Him, and when we know Him, we will experience who He is. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And I may be made conformable to His death. It was a point in his life that he came to that conclusion that the only thing that is left for me is to know Him more and more. To know Him until I'm able to conform to His image. And brethren, the things that we see around us, let us not murmur when it is unpleasant. Because do you know you can lose your reward when you begin to murmur? God is passing you through an experience. Let us make use of our hard times to bring some profit into our lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So, the other thing we need to know is that we can seek for this. We can seek for it. And you can come to the conclusion that I don't think I really have the fear of God in my life. And brethren, we must be honest to ourselves. We must be honest. We must say like Jacob, I am Jacob. I am a man that does not fear God. And you cannot begin to seek for it. Begin to ask the Lord to help you. You seek. You see, when you seek the Lord with all of your heart, you will do what? You will find Him. We're talking about heart the other day. And brethren, a man that seeks the Lord, a man that is deficient in one way or the other, a man that acknowledges the challenges of his life and all the frailties of his life, you acknowledge it and seek the Lord for it. The Bible says, when you do it with all of your heart, He said you will find Him. I want to be in that position where I can find the Lord as I seek Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want to give us a practical example in the scripture. You know, sometimes when we say all of these things, you know, the purpose of the New Testament and the Old Testament is that they always agree with themselves. They agree. The stories you see and you hear in the Old Testament, they are like parables. They are like stories that relate to spiritual truths. And in the New Testament, they just give you plain. You do this. But in the Old Testament, they will give you the background and the story, the development of it, so that you can understand, so that when it's coming to you, you say, this is what happened in these people. And that is the essence. We must correlate them together. Ephesians will say, do this, mam, mam, mam. But the Old Testament will give us the story of it. And we can really appreciate what happens when we are in that situation. Let's look at the life of Joseph. The life of Joseph is an example. Let's go to Genesis. Joseph is an example of a man that feared the Lord. Was an example of a man. And I want to tell us, young people, those of you in the secondary school, in the university, and all of us who are young, do you know that when Joseph went to Egypt, he was about 17 years. Sometimes when we hear Joseph, we think he was one big man, chested, and he was 17 years. And we should learn from the life of this man. Young people, you must learn from the life of this man, because Joseph did not have fellowship. Joseph did not have the blood. Joseph did not have his parents around him. And he was in a far country. So, our children, whether you are in Malaysia, or whether you are in America, whether you are in Abuja or Covenant, wherever you are, you must listen to the story of Joseph. Because he was alone, and yet he feared the Lord. Hallelujah! Amen. So it is possible for you, wherever you are, to fear the Lord. Yes, sir. It's possible. It is not difficult. Even if you have your roommates who are this or that, or you are in a place where they are in the occult, whether you have whatever you have, you look at the life of Joseph and you'll be encouraged. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at that scripture in Genesis 39. Genesis 39. I want us to, okay. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Do you know who Ishmaelites are? We know Ishmaelites. Ishmael. From who? From Abraham. The mother was what? Hagar. You know Hagar. It was when Abraham went to Egypt that they got that Hagar. It was when they went to Egypt at that time. It was as if there was a trap that was set there. And they came, you know, our sisters, we need house helps. We need those that will help us. And we have to be very careful who we get. We have to be very careful. Because you can go and get Hagar. Before you know it, they are talking about another story. But God forbid, it will not happen to us. No, it was from this group of people that took him. They took him. You know, when you talk about people from Egypt, it speaks of the world, the worldliness, as if they want to grip, they lay hold of him, and they and sold him. When the enemy wants to do you bad, God will turn that back to good. Hallelujah! You didn't hear me. When the enemy comes and have evil intention, he wants to do something contrary to the will of God. It is in that position that God is going to exalt himself. Hallelujah. And so, from the Israelite, which had brought him down thither, 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, this is a summary. Many things happened before this point. Many things happened. But let us begin to go to the point that we want to emphasize. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Hallelujah. You know, the qualification is that for God was with him. Any man, any woman that has that qualification, you will fear no evil. Rather, the Lord is going to prosper you. Hallelujah. He will prosper you. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not what he had, save the bread which he did eat. So almost everything. Brethren, when God begins to prosper you, begin to check, oh, because something is coming. Something might come. When God begins to prosper you, they say that the Lord, he will test all his servants. The servants of the Lord, they must be tried in every situation. And Joseph was tried. But with the story we are about to read complete now, we tell us how he survived this situation. He was well favored, and he left all that he had, and so on. Please, 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." 8. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he had committed all that he had to my hand." Listen to this one. "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither have he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness?" Brethren, he saw it as wickedness. And the reason is because he had the fear of God. Sometimes we take sin to be very light. Something will happen. It's not that small thing he did. That small thing. He just touched that girl small. Just touch him small. It is not small. It is called wickedness. Great wickedness. Now, it's not just about the sin of a man and a woman, but there are many other things I want to touch, that when we do, we should call everything the thing that God calls it, the name that God calls it. There was a man that was in one church in those days, very, very, not important, but it's very, very, and he did something. And when he did that thing, and the brethren asked him, "What did you do?" When he came out, he said, "I had some challenges. I just had some challenges. Brethren, can you just pray for me and remove those challenges?" Brethren, we must call everything what it is by its name. Because when we say that, our deliverance will come quick. Praise the Lord. The deliverance will come very fast. He said, "How can I do this great wickedness?" He was a man that was aware that beside him that the Lord was there. He was a man that had a respect. He had respect for God. You know, when you are in the house and your senior brother is there and you begin to mess up, People will say, don't you have respect for your brothers? They say, don't you have respect for your father? And you are doing all these things. A man is seen outside. He is walking anyhow. Just, you know, some people will ask you, don't you have respect? We know your father in this town. We know your father in this village. Don't you have respect? Brethren, let us have respect for God. In the things that we do, brethren, I'm bringing this in practical. I'm bringing it so that we can relate with it. So that we can know that this gospel is true. This gospel saves. It is the only instrument. He said it is the power of God unto salvation. To them that do what? That believe. When you believe this gospel, you will be saved. No matter what it is, this gospel is like electricity coming to you. And before, you were living in darkness. And suddenly God brought light. You can now use electricity. You can go to the laundry. You can use your washing machine. You can go to the kitchen and put on the cooker. You can. That is what the gospel is. It brings light and life. It brings it, and it compared to your old life, there's a lot of difference. It is the only way God has assigned to bring salvation to us. It is, and it is powerful. It is powerful. The gospel is a dynamo. It is a force. It is, there is no sin it cannot dislodge. Hallelujah. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. So that is what I want to bring to us, the life of this man called Joseph. He prevailed. He conquered. He defeated the enemy. And he was thrown into the prison. And God used it as a time to prepare him for the throne. That's a time of preparation. Hallelujah. Now, the difference between the reign of Saul and the reign of Solomon and that of David was because David passed through the test. He went through the wilderness experience. He was able to fight with the bear. He fought with the lion. And when he entered the throne, there was peace. Did they fight any war for 40 years? There was peace in this reign. Because of the difference of how they came to that place. Do you want to come to the point where you will begin to labor and all the things? Why can't you start where the Lord will train you and bring you into an experience? An experience that will be eternal, that will stay. You will survive the test of time. Do you know that when you are building a house, you will plan that in this part of the house, I'm going to put a pillar there. I put a pillar there. I put a pillar there. The pillars, they hold the house against the storm. Do you want to be a pillar? You can be a pillar. But you have to pass through the test. That is what we call, there's an engineering test that is done to determine what? Strength. The tensile strength. They will test it. They will know whether you can withstand the load that they want to put upon it. They do the test. And let me tell you, what you are passing through, God is really testing you. Hallelujah. Do you know what happens? When the minister of works, when they come and inspect the building, now the purpose of that inspection is not to condemn the house. It's to tell you what is wrong in that place so that you can do something about it. They will tell you, this one, you need 9-inch rod. It is not this rod they make in a bank or somewhere. And before you know it, the building will just collapse. Because there was no test. Brethren, pass through the test so that your house will not collapse. Hallelujah. Pass through the test. God is sending the engineers around you to test it. They are sending situation and circumstances to test it. And when it is discovered that it's deficient, you will make recommendation. That's why when you come here, they ask, is this that you are coming? God is rebuilding that house. Hallelujah. Each time you come here, God is rebuilding the house and is strengthening you and making you to be better, stronger, making you to be a people of power to be able to withstand all the wiles of the enemy. And let me tell you, as soon as you go out of this camp, something will be waiting for you. Hello? They will be waiting for you, and we must all pass that test. Hallelujah! I'm going to determine that I will pass the test. Hallelujah! So, as every word of God comes to us, let us embrace it. The difference between hearing the word and doing it is that when that word comes to you, you embrace it. It is the embracing of the word that opens the door for the Lord to come in. And as we are preaching, as we are building, God is knocking at the door of your heart. This morning, God knocked at the door of your heart. This time, He's knocking at the door of your heart. Now, the only way you can allow that word to come in is if I embrace it. I agree with it. Then the door of my heart will open. Say, "Swing wide, all ye doors of my heart, and let the King of glory come in." Hallelujah. He is coming in to drive away all the merchandising. He's coming in to keep the house clean. He's coming in to prepare you. He's coming in to reorder things. He's coming you to be Lord and master over your life. That is the purpose of His coming in. Praise the Lord. When He comes, will you be able to stand? So we will stand. And what we need to learn from the life of Joseph is that when you have the fear of the Lord, there are benefits. One thing is that, one, you run away from sin. A man that fears the Lord runs away from sin in the life of Joseph. You don't say, "Let me stay with them. Let's look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1, the book of Psalm. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth," that is, let's see the progression of that thing. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now, he was walking on. Now, the next one is that, "or standeth in the way of sinners." There is a possibility that when you are with ungodly people and you are walking, if you are not very careful, you will stand. You begin to stand. If you don't walk away. If you don't walk away, the possibility is that you will stand. Now, "nor seated in the seat of the scornful." Before too long, you now begin to sit down with them. You begin to sit down with them. So, the solution is to do what? Run. Young man, run away from that girl that is enticing you. Hallelujah! Don't say, "Let me hear the story. Let me see what this man will tell himself." You just put your hand like this. "Let me see what he's going to tell me. This man, I think I know him." Be very careful. Some men have sweet tongues, so. And there is also a spirit inside of them. Now, by the time the man has finished gisting you, now this thing, he's talking through. It looks like. But then, don't stand. Run. Somebody say, it's not even run. They say, Flee. 440. Kalewis. Do you know Kalewis? Kalewis. 100 meters. They were not born. Okay, you people know Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt. Run like Usain Bolt. Run like Usain Bolt. And don't stay. Because if you stay, you might begin to sit down. And when you sit down, Tori don't bother. Tori don't change. May the Lord help us to flee from sin. The other benefits that it brings great reward. The fear of the Lord brings great reward. Joseph was rewarded. Was he not rewarded? He was rewarded. The fear of the Lord will give you great reward. Young woman, keep your chastity. Stand with the Lord. The Lord will reward you. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. The Lord will reward you. That thing you are looking for, you will find it in the fear of the Lord. When you fear the Lord, He will reward you. Praise the Lord. Then, the other thing is that the fear of the Lord will make the eye of the Lord to be upon you. His eyes will be upon you. So wherever you go, whether you are in Russia studying, the eye of the Lord is over you. Wow! What a privilege! The eye, he said, he is searching to and fro the earth. The Lord is searching east and west, looking for a man, a woman, whose heart is right, that he might show himself strong on his behalf. So that is what the Lord will do for you. The man that fears the Lord will have the eyes of the Lord continually resting upon you. And the reason is that you will not falter. He said the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. He will order your steps. Where the evil men are, the Lord will take you out. And he will take you to another path. And you will be safe and secure. Safe and secure. If there is, we have testimonies in our midst. Sister Biri, when she was in Congo, when is it earthquake or what? Or whatever happened? Volcano. The Lord saved her. Her property was saved. Everything. There was no pain that was lost. Brethren, you know, if we begin to write these books, we will be able to tell people that God is real. It's real. There are testimonies in our midst. It abounds. That the man that fears the Lord will watch over him. Praise the Lord. You know, there was one day I was coming back from the clinic. Very late. Around 11 o'clock. Sometimes you can't afford to leave some patients. You can't afford to leave them. If a child is in heart failure and you need to do there and monitor the child, what are you going home to do? What sleep, what food is that you will do that is more than the life of that child? So I stayed back until I was satisfied that this child can stay. And I was coming back in the night, almost 12 o'clock, and I reached my house. My gate man has slept. I was blaring the horn, and I looked behind, and I looked there. There was nobody. And the Lord whispered to me, He said, I am the one that watches over you. And I had peace. That man, I was there for about 30 minutes before the man woke up. And I just opened the gate and just entered. And that was it. Brethren, the Lord will watch over you. When you are doing God's work, the Lord will watch over you. When you are sincere in your work and you are doing that which the Lord has commanded you to do, the Lord will watch over you. It is a covenant. You know, there are certain things that are our birthright. a birthright. And what the enemy does most of the times is to cover these things so that we don't see it. You know, imagine, I was sharing with our group. Imagine you being the only son of a billionaire. Your father died. And they have a lawyer. They have given the will. And you now discover that this lawyer is hiding that will from you. What are you going to do? I'm going to fight until I get the will of my father. And I discover that my father had 10 houses in New York. He has 5 in London. Won't you fight for it? I will fight for it. Let us fight for our inheritance. That lawyer is the devil. He covers it. He doesn't want us to know the inheritance, our birthright that we have with God. We must fight him. We must dislodge him. We must move it out of the way. Our inheritance, we will receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let me begin to round up. He said, let's not be like that man in Luke chapter 12. Let's look at the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12 from verse 16 to 21. Luke chapter 12. Okay? And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, you know, this is very interesting. He said to my soul, you know, it was like a man who was satisfied. I will say to my soul, hear what I'm going to tell you. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, let us not be fools. Hallelujah. Let's not be fools. Now, I will tell you why. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Hallelujah! You know, there's something that touched me in this story. This man made plans. And that is very usual for most of us. We make plans. We want to go to school. We want to go to university. We want to start business. We want to do many things without putting God in the matter. Without consideration of God. Without the thought of God. Without the fear of the Lord. When the fear of the Lord is not in the midst of what we do, we are bound to make faulty decisions. When the thought of God, when we are not considering God, any decision we make is faulty. It's faulty. And you will not know it until the time comes. And so, let us take heed and let us know that whatever is not based on God, it will crumble. It will crumble. So we can say that the fear of the Lord is priceless. It is priceless. We can't put any tag to it. It is what will situate us. It is what will make us to be on course. And I pray, as we read this scripture, that if we know God, if we know who He is, if we read this scripture in Psalm 89, we're going to round up with this scripture, and then know that there is something that we need to know about God that is priceless. If we know Him for who He is, if we know Him for who He is, Isaiah 89 from 11. 89 from verse 11. Psalm 89 from verse 11. We'll just read it, and we just want to have a glimpse. Now, the heaven are dying, the earth also is dying. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. 12. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. 13. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitations of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people. Take note of this. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one, chosen out of the people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And finally, in the book of Isaiah, he said, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord rested upon him, upon Jesus. There's a call, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless us with that spirit today, as we pray and ask the Lord to search our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let us stand up and pray.